I was watching the new Richard actually caught us last week. I had completely forgotten. It was September 10th last week, and he reminded us that September 11th was the next day. I had forgotten. I had completely missed that. Over the course of the week, we saw some highlights, some remembrances. They weren't an anniversary of a specific number of years, so they weren't quite as graphic as they have been over the years. But we remember back, and we remember back to that time, and we can remember and recall all that happened, where we were, and how it has changed our world. It's intriguing to note that the lectionary, without any planning except God's divine grace, that moments of remembrance is tied together with lectionary referring to forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's part of what's going on there. The scriptures are reflecting on this. How many times do we forgive someone? Seven times? Now, you know, in the biblical world, some numbers have different meanings. Seven was the whole thing. How many days are there in a week? Seven is the full number. Seven is complete. 12 is another one of those. 12 is all sorts of things. But Jesus says not just seven times. Seven times seven. Or 77. It depends on how you translate the passage. I'm not enough of a scholar, Greek scholar, to understand the nuances. But some scholars say it's 70 times seven times. Now, if you're going to try and count the number of times you're forgiving somebody, you might have already lost. You might have already lost that battle. But we need to pause and reflect on September 11th. And holy moments of remembrance, of ringing of bells, of naming of names. And that's all right. But 22 years ago began a brief period of time of reaction. Do you recall the tenor of our nation? Anger. Calls for vengeance. Calls for revenge. Calls for payback. Calls for hatred. And some deep senses of resentment. Be aware. Be aware of scriptures today reflecting upon forgiveness. This past week, I understand President Biden traveled to Vietnam. Did you see that on the news? And Vietnam is becoming a tourist destination. I know one of our world travelers, Rich Schneer, have you guys ever made it to Vietnam yet, Richard?
Not Vietnam.
Okay, if you didn't hear that, he has been to Thailand, but they have not been to Vietnam. So that area, you understand some. But I can't help wondering about some of the Vietnam veterans, and they're traveling back there with memories and with grace. That was not a good time. That was not a time of collegiality, of appreciation, of understanding. And now, through 50 years of time, we have mellowed. We have learned forgiveness instead of anger and revenge. I know some who have not. I know some who have not forgotten, who have not given up the rage, the anger inside. And it breaks my heart to see them, because they're like people with an awful cancer that's eating them away from inside. And that's what it is. Hatred is like a cancer that destroys us, that diminishes us, that gradually and steadily sucks the life out of us, leaving us empty hulks. God's grace of forgiveness is a cure for that cancer. And those who experience it experience God's love. What a gift. What a gift. Forgiving someone who sins against us. Now, there's a big difference between forgive and enabling someone. Enabling is another thing, and it's one of those psychotherapeutical terms, but it means allowing someone to do it over and over again. So forgiveness really needs to be about a true attempt to change, a true forgiveness from the heart. And we can't always be the judge of that, but we need to recognize when forgiving something is not helping that person, but actually enabling them to remain in a destructive pattern. Tough times, but through the Holy Spirit, through the love of God and the Holy Spirit, we can achieve those sorts of things. Jesus said, if they are truly asking for forgiveness, truly seeking to change, forgive them. The Old Testament passage out of Psalms 103, Diana did a great job with that. And it speaks of fearing God. I've had more questions about the phrase, fear the Lord your God, than about any other biblical passage. Any other phrase, fearing God is a sense of, should we be afraid of our Lord? And fearing God is an interesting way of phrasing it. I don't speak Hebrew. But the Hebrew word for fear, as to fear God, is to fear or to revere, to be afraid, but to stand in awe or to be awed, to treat with reverence, honor, and respect, to cause astonishment and awe, to be held in awe. How would you phrase it if you were to try and convey to someone else that we need to give God our allegiance, our trust, our obedience? What words can we use to describe that? Because that's what Psalms is calling. Those who regard God with reverence and awe and understanding, we begin to understand the creator of the universe. We begin to understand and acknowledge God that can see all, that knows all, God that won't be scammed or duped or deceived, God that really knows the rest of the story. That's the Lord God that we stand in awe, in fear of. There's a little bit of tension there if we are honest with ourselves. God knows all, sees all. I don't know about all of you, but there are a few things in my life that I'm not terribly proud of. I could be doing a better job on a few things, and I try to tell myself, well, it doesn't matter. But I know God knows the whole story. And so God and I have some conversations. Do any of you have those sorts of conversations about being honest with ourselves and with our God? But with Jesus Christ, we have come to find not someone so much to fear, but one who loves us unconditionally and draws us forward. I am convinced that it is our stage in human development, in the early phases of God's relationship with humanity, we were pretty primitive. Animalistic, might makes right, the strong kill the weak. There is nothing but just an order of strength and of survival. And somehow we had to get beyond those very primitive pieces of ourselves and come to the next stage of development, which was one of compassion and care and consideration one for another. You can watch it in kids. My kids went through that phase. I remember it. I'm going to tell this story. I don't know if my daughter Sarah is watching on the internet or not, but at some point we were slicing up dessert, and I was busy trying to get everything ready, and I said, Sarah, you go ahead and cut the pieces. So she cut three pieces, two little pieces, and one very big piece of dessert. And she was very young. This was very, very young. But of course, she quickly scooped the huge piece onto her plate. And the two little plates went for Melissa and I, Melissa and me. And I grinned a little bit, and I looked at her, and I said, well, you got to cut them into pieces, so Melissa gets to pick which plate she wants. Right away, Sarah said, wait, let me, and so she redivided the pieces up, and they were incredibly equal. There was a moment of growth there, but that was a point in the development. Sarah is a loving, giving, compassionate, sharing person. But it's a phase of development. Are we in a phase of development that Jesus Christ came to help us move beyond having to live in a relationship of fearing God into one of loving God's love for us? What stage of development are we in as a society? I don't think we're mature yet. I hate to say that, but there is still a vast gulf between the very, very wealthy and the haves, and the very, very poor, the have-nots. There is a gift of compassion and sharing and love that still reverts back to two small pieces and one big piece. And those that have are very happy with what they have, or appear to be, or convince themselves that they are. We need to be careful, too, because we are part of having the prosperity of the nation that most people are struggling to come to. What we have, people want. What we have is good and prosperous. And many other places are not nearly as privileged. We need to be aware. What stage of maturity are we as a people? We are gathered here as worshipers because we put God first in our lives at the very beginning of the week. Sunday's the first day of the week. First thing out of the barrel, we stop and say, Lord, thank you. Now, there are some days, I got to admit, I get up in the morning, I say, good Lord, it's morning. But I try and remember and say, good morning, Lord, it's morning. We are a privileged, blessed few. And we stand more and more in awe of God and do more and more good in the name of God. So think about the moment, Simon Peter asking, how often shall we forgive those who trespass against us? Seven times? Not seven, but seven times seven times. Forgive and be blessed by God with that knowledge of your forgiveness and God's Spirit with you in that forgiveness. And may our forgiveness be a gift to those that we forgive that understand that grace. Look up to the Lord God. Give thanks for all that we have. Give thanks for the ways that we can be gifts of God to the world. Amen? Amen.